Schadenfreude is a German word that basically means taking pleasure in other people's pain, like watching fashion models fall down on the runway. Well, I Schadenfreude is taking pleasure in hearing that I stood in line for 6 hours to buy my iPhone. Money Machine. Show 120. Friday, July 18th. Hello, everybody. This is Paul Douglas Boyer. Thank you for downloading the Mad Money Machine to your iPhone and to your Zune player. So good to be back with you. The Mad Money Machine is proud to be sponsored by Index Funds Advisors at IFA.com. They are the sponsor of the upcoming Learning Earnings segment in just a few moments. Also on today's show, all about Schadenfreude. And I tell my iPhone story. I'm going to tell my iPhone story, and you can revel in my pain. You know, I was listening to Leo Laporte on the day before the iPhone was launched, and he said the lines were actually shorter than normal, shorter than last year, that is, for the iPhone. I thought, well, all right, that's pretty cool. But I went at 7:30 anyway to the local AT&T store, and they opened at 8, of course. I thought 7:30 I'd be the first one in line, you know. Because nobody in my town was going to be buying an iPhone. Well, when I got there, the parking lot was full. There were about 40 people waiting in line for the iPhone. And a few minutes later, not too long later, they came around, they counted off people, and they said, all right, everybody from here back in line, we don't have any more iPhones for you. You're either going to have to come on in anyway, order one, you'll get it tomorrow maybe, or you can go come back tomorrow and just stand in line again. Or you can go to the Apple store in Tysons Corner Mall in Virginia. And so I said, well, I want it today. I'm going to go to the Tysons Corner Mall and buy it today. He said they have plenty of them at the Apple store. I drove there, got there about 8:30 then, and went in, walked to the Apple store. There was a long line all the way around the Apple store entrance, past L.L. Bean, all the way down to Bloomingdale's, around the corner, and down to the exit. And I thought, well, this looks like about a two-hour line. And so I got in the back of the line, stood there, and moved pretty significantly for the first 20 minutes, the first 30 minutes, the first hour or so. And then the line slowed down, and I think it took another hour and a half to move just 10 feet. And by this time, it was, what, 2-3 hours into the wait. At the four-hour mark, the young lady in front of me looked at her watch, stepped out of line, and walked away. Can you imagine 4 hours waiting in line and then walking away and not getting your iPhone? Well, one of the Apple representatives came around and explained to us that they were having problems with the computers, blah, 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 blah. By the six-hour mark, I finally get into the store and get the iPhone. Now, I was transferring my number from Sprint and did not have an AT&T account existing, and somehow my account just flew through. A lot of people were having problems connecting to iTunes, connecting their phone into iTunes and having it activated. Mine went without a hitch. In fact, the sales guy, when he saw it was successful, he said, he turned around and says, hey guys, look here, look here. Here's what a successful one looks like. I've got to say that this phone is absolutely amazing to me. It is thinner than my Trio and does so much more. The resolution so higher on it. The connection to the internet is so much faster. The web browser is really amazing. And I just love the way it operates and syncs with iTunes. The iPhone is a great, great phone. Now, that's not the only Schadenfreude moment that we have at the moment. A lot of people are watching Bill Miller, you know, the head of the famous Legg Mason Fund, which had beaten the S&P 500 index for something like 15 years in a row up until just recently. I think last year or maybe the year before was the first time that his fund lost ground to the S&P 500. Well, this year it's imploding because he was a big investor in Freddie and Fannie and all that sort of stuff. And it is a disaster. So a lot of people are reveling in that. They're experiencing the joys of schadenfreude watching Bill Miller. Now, gold bugs are known to be bearish people. Gold bugs are rooting for collapse, rooting for the collapse of the dollar, rooting for economic collapse. Therefore, their gold, which maintains its value relative to all things, when everything else loses its value, gold holds its value, and the gold bugs win. Gold bugs enjoy schadenfreude, no doubt. And speaking of schadenfreude, many of my listeners take pleasure in watching Cramer fail. For example, Michael emailed me and said, "Hi, two things. Number one, rivaling the, quote, chameleon flip-flop on your site currently. What about the Amazon flip-flop last fall? He had recently, within the week, reaffirmed his love of Amazon with a buy recommendation on a call-in and then literally cut the head off a hobby horse, visually killing one of his, quote, four horsemen picks. Amazon! The stock fell so hard the next day, all his loyal followers got screwed. He single-handedly, literally with the real axe, cut the stock value from beneath every one of his followers that bought Amazon on his recommendation. It had already fallen the day of his beheading due to the missing quarter, but it was definitely his beheading that caused it to open so low the next day. I wished I had TiVo then to make a similar flip-flop YouTube posting. And number two, on every Mad Money TV show, he mentions his, quote, Action Alerts as his, quote, charitable fund, from which he, quote, doesn't make any money as long as it all goes to charity, end quote. Well, what about the $59 a month charge that he charges to those that want to follow along and trade with him? That's what ought to be illegal. He makes it seem as if he's doing it for charity, when in fact, he's doing it to sell Action Alert subscriptions. He is using a charity to get money for himself. That ought to be illegal. And then Michael concludes, even there, he acts like his bad picks don't matter. The Friday before the recent big natural gas pullback, he was saying, buy, 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 then ignores the fact it's so far down since then. Thanks very much for the email, Michael. You know, I actually mentioned this a long time ago on the Mad Money Machine show, and I realize not everybody can be a long-time listener. And I kind of, presents a dilemma for me is, how do I keep a reference of some of these ideas that I've put on the show? I can't expect everyone to listen to every show. I can't expect you really to go to the website. I don't really want to create a wiki, a Cramer wiki on the website or anything like that. But maybe I just have to end up repeating myself. I don't know. I'd like your ideas on how I should structure the content of the show so that I inform newcomers as well as keep old timers entertained. Have you heard the Warren Buffett rap? Let me play a little bit for you.
It's the Oracle,
Mister.
It's the Oracle,
Mister.
It's the Oracle,
Mister.
The Oracle of Omaha. Yes, yes, y'all. The Oracle,
Mister.
It's the Oracle,
Mister.
The Oracle of Omaha. I'm speaking about a multi-billionaire, so put your hands in the air. People will stare, but you know he doesn't care. Give him some Johnny Rockets in the can, the cherry coke. Watching the stock rise, so you know he's not a joke. Oh, you didn't know? Berkshire Hathaway's the way to go when the economy slows, so now you know. But this ain't even half of the story. He's leading the world in many categories. Oracle,
Mister.
It's the Oracle,
Mister.
It's the Oracle. Take his advice. When I give it to you, you need to think about it twice. Finish the day a little smarter than you started it. You learned a lot by reading. You gotta put your heart in it. Develop your personal talent. Stay true. Looking for the good value. That's what you need to do. Manage your money. Don't let your money manage you. When he's ready to speak, this is who you wanna listen to. Mr. Warren Buffett, it's time for me to learn. Cause I'm ready to earn. It's the Oracle.
Mister.
It's the Oracle.
Mister.
It's the Oracle. Yes, y'all.
Did you catch the video where Warren Buffett went to a Dairy Queen in Omaha, Nebraska, and he sat around the table with some Girl Scouts who asked him questions, and here's one of the questions that the Girl Scout asked him.
What is your best advice for a new investor?
For a new investor? Well, I would do a lot of reading before I invested. In other words, I would prepare for it. But, I wouldn't just jump in the water until I thought I knew how to swim. So I did a lot of reading. I read every book that the Omaha Public Library had about investing by the time I was 11. And, you got plenty of time, you're young, to invest. So why not go in prepared instead of learning as you go along? You will learn as you go along. I mean, that comes with investing. But it's better if you've done some thinking about it and sort of take your time getting into it. But you're not too young to start preparing for it at all.
And now the Learning Earning segment brought to you by Index Funds Advisors at IFA.com. This is the segment where we learn how to earn our financial freedom. Much of the material in this segment is brought to you from the Index Funds, a 12-step program for active investors book by Mark Hebner at IFA and their website at IFA.com. I'd like to talk a little bit more about the silent partners that eat into your investments and talking about actively managed mutual funds now. Unless an actively managed mutual fund states that it focuses on after-tax returns, an investor should never assume that it's managed with tax considerations in mind, okay? So be aware when you invest in your taxable account in some of these actively managed funds, because a tax-efficient or tax-managed mutual fund usually means that the published return and the after-tax return are close to each other. Index funds, now get this, index funds can be tax-managed as well, all right? So if you're in a taxable account and you're buying an index fund, always look to see if there's a tax-managed version of that index fund. For example, Vanguard, some of the international funds, they have a tax-managed. The small cap, I think there's a tax-managed version of that. Critics of tax-managed funds, and I might add Jim Cramer, warn that an investor should not let tax considerations outweigh investment judgment. For example, as Charles Ellis said in his book, Investment Policy, says, quote, never do anything for tax reasons. Oh, this may be excellent advice, but when faced with taxes of 15 to 40%, any tax-managed strategy a fund manager uses takes on great importance. Now, one strategy that's used by some of these index fund managers that are tax-managed is to use a strategy called harvesting losses. What they do is they sell stocks at a loss to offset other realized capital gains. And hey, with the market going down like it is, there's going to be lots more losses accumulating in some of these funds, right? Schadenfreude. Another is to sell the stocks with the highest cost basis. All right, you bought a stock high, it went up maybe a little bit, but not as much as some of the other ones. And as a result of these strategies, a fund will incur losses before any gains are realized. This helps an index fund maximize net after-tax return. By their nature, index fund managers attempt to defer realization of short-term capital gains until they become long-term capital gains, right? Also, a tax-managed index fund seeks to discourage short-term trading among its investors by assessing redemption fees. Okay, so you know about some of these, even the Vanguard funds, you buy them, and they'll say, if you sell this before some period of time, 60 days, 90 days, 6 months, 2 years, they will assess you a fee, 0.5%, 1%, 2%, 3% maybe. An additional sales fee for short-term trading in that index fund. And that really helps the cost of those who are holding on to the fund. When you're investing in a taxable account, be very aware of the tax implications of the fund that you're buying into. It'll help you avoid one of the big silent partners. This Learning Earnings segment brought to you by Index Funds Advisors. I encourage you to go to their website at ifa.com and click on the button there at the top that says Open an Account. Let them help you manage your financial freedom and take their risk capacity survey. It's the first thing you need to do in your investing strategy. Index Funds Advisors, helping investors succeed by matching people with portfolios. Philip writes me at feedback@madmoneymachine.com and says, in regards to learning earning, I agree that early financial education is crucial. One of the best crash courses I took in high school was Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. It covered everything. The university I currently attend does offer this course, so it is readily available nationwide. The econ classes I've taken in the past have not been very helpful on a personal level, which I believe is where everyone must start in order to live well. Keep up the good work, Philip. Thanks, Philip. I see that our Xbox 360s are going to get more valuable this fall. Isn't that neat? You buy something and its value goes up. In this case, what they're going to do is they're going to redo the dashboard. It's actually going to look a lot more like a Wii. Going to have these little characters, graphical characters, and I think you can make your own character and all that sort of stuff. And it's going to look like CoverFlow from Apple iTunes. You're going to be flipping between the different pages and things. It's completely changed from the way the Xbox dashboard looks now. And the second big announcement that Microsoft made is that for Xbox Live Gold subscribers and Netflix subscribers, you will be able to... We interrupt this broadcast with a message from Lou Rockwell. It's hard to be shocked at a lying federal official, but to see the head inflator, Ben Bernanke, warning the Senate about inflation as if it were some extraneous force of nature is laughable. He said today, "We must be particularly alert to any indications such as an erosion of longer-term inflation expectations that the inflationary impulses from commodity prices are becoming embedded in setting wages and prices." In other words, the Fed, the government agency created to inflate and the only source of inflation, is keeping an eye on the wayward private sector. In case foolish people wake up to the Fed's schemes and realize they have engineered very high inflation indeed, at the same time as they have engineered a global depression and prices zoom as the economy falls off the edge, in that case, it will be essential, from DC's standpoint, to blame business people and consumers so as to divert attention from their criminal selves. It is our job not to let them get away with it. And now back to your regularly scheduled program. Stream movies from Netflix right onto your Xbox. Now, this is fantastic. I've been looking for a way to play those Netflix online movies, not through the computer, but through the TV set. And this is going to be a way to do it. Coming in the fall, I guess I'm going to have to become a Xbox Live Gold member in order for that to happen, but it looks pretty cool. So you're looking for more risk in your portfolio, right? Emerging markets is just not good enough for you. You know, the emerging market countries are often called the BRIC countries, Brazil, Russia, India, and China. Well, now there are a couple of exchange-traded funds coming out that are what they call frontier markets. Have you heard about this? Yeah, PowerShares has the MENA Frontier Countries portfolio. And apparently the ticker symbol is PMNA. I've never seen an ETF with a four-letter ticker symbol before. But it says here at indexuniverse.com that the new fund will track the NASDAQ OMX Middle East North Africa Index, which currently covers these countries: Kuwait, Bahrain, Qatar or Qatar or Gutter, or the United Arab Emirates, Oman, Lebanon, Egypt, Jordan, Morocco, and Nigeria. That alone makes it a far different animal from the recently launched Claymore BNY Mellon Frontier Markets ETF with ticker symbol FRN, which takes a more global approach to frontier investing, potentially including stocks from countries in Europe, Asia, Latin America, and the Middle East, and all of Africa. They go further to say, really, it seems unlikely the two funds will be in competition with each other at all. PMNA is for investors looking to make an investment in a specific region and an oil-rich region to boot within the frontier markets universe, not necessarily in frontier markets as an asset class. The new PowerShares ETF charges 0.95%. A little on the high side, maybe not for a frontier market fund, but higher than most other ETFs. With a waiver, though, that brings the actual price down to 0.7%, I guess temporarily, while FRN charges 0.65%. Invest cautiously. Interesting article by Mark Hulbert in the New York Times business section entitled "The Prescient Are Few." In other words, he asks, how many mutual fund managers can consistently pick stocks that outperform the broad stock market averages as opposed to just being lucky now and then? Well, they've done a scientific study of this question, and the study is called False Discoveries in Mutual Fund Performance: Measuring Luck in Estimating Alphas. And the bottom line is, when they analyze the entire fund sample over a couple of decades, with records going through the year 2006, researchers concluded that 0.6% of managers had genuine stock-picking ability, statistically indistinguishable from zero, according to the researchers. The professor that did the study says he and his co-authors suspect various causes. One is high fees and expenses. The researchers' tests found that on a pre-expense basis, 9.6% of mutual fund managers showed genuine stock-picking ability, far higher than the 0.6% after expenses were taken into account. This suggests that 1 in 10 managers may still have the market-beating ability. It's just that they can't come out ahead after all the fund's fees and expenses are paid. Ah, silent partners, remember? Another possible factor is that many skilled managers have gone to the hedge fund world. Yet a third potential reason is that the market has become more efficient. So it's harder to identify undervalued or overvalued stocks. Whatever the causes, the investment implications of the study are the same. Say it with me. Buy and hold an index fund benchmarked to the broad stock market. Professor Werners says his advice has evolved significantly as a result of this study. Until now, he says, he wouldn't have tried to discourage a sophisticated investor from trying to pick a mutual fund that would outperform the market. Now, he says, it seems almost hopeless. Let's play a round of the world's favorite game, Guru Roulette. I've replaced the numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of investment gurus. I'll spin the wheel and roll the marble, and for the selected guru, give you a little background on their investment philosophy. So here we go! And the winner this time on Mad Men Machine Show 120 is Jason Zweig! Jason Zweig writes a column for the Wall Street Journal called The Intelligent Investor, and he is the investor's best friend, I believe, because his advice has been spot on, good stuff to listen to, one of the best. He wrote a column July 12th that got Cramer kind of riled up on his show. Jason's column was called Stop Worrying and Learn to Love the Bear. He says in the column, take it from Graham and Buffett, these miserable markets are a gift from the financial gods. When you bought into the gospel of stocks for the long run, did you have any idea how long the long run can turn out to be? Exactly 10 years ago, the Standard & Poor's 500 stock index was at 1164. It closed Friday at 1239. That's an average annualized return of 0.63%. So he asks, what about that 10% yearly return that U.S. stocks supposedly provide with near certainty? Jason Zweig quotes Warren Buffett in his article. Warren Buffett says, if a stock that I own goes down 50%, I'd look forward to it. In fact, I would offer you a significant sum of money if you would give me the opportunity for all of my stocks to go down 50% over the next month. Knowing he owns good businesses, Mr. Buffett wants prices to go down, not up, so he can buy even more shares more cheaply before they bounce back. He quotes again Warren Buffett as saying investing is much like dieting. It's simple, but not easy. Everyone knows what it takes to lose weight. Eat less, exercise more. Nothing could be simpler, but few things are harder in a world full of chocolate cake and Cheetos. Likewise, investing is simple. Diversify, buy and hold, keep costs low. But simple isn't easy in a market seething with, quote, free online trades, funds that promise to transform losses into gains, and TV pundits, listen up, Kramer, TV pundits who shriek out trading advice as if their underpants were on fire. The real secret to being or becoming an intelligent investor is bolstering your self-control. Well, I'd like to play now a little clip from Jim Cramer's show on what he had to say about this article.
It's time for you to unlearn a most pernicious and widespread myth about investing, one that you may actually believe in. I'm talking about the myth of buy and hold. The idea that the best way to invest is to find some high-quality stocks and then own them forever. This is conventional wisdom. The pundits tell you to buy stocks and just sit on them.
Yes, but when we say stocks and when you say stocks, it means different things, doesn't it, Jim Cramer? When Jason Zweig talks about buying stocks, he's talking about buying a wide diversity of index funds. You're talking about buying 5 to 10 individual company stocks. Completely different things.
Because if you sell frequently, you're going to have to pay commissions. Big deal. Commissions have been dirt cheap for years.
Once again, that's because we're not talking about buying individual stocks. We're talking about mutual funds and particularly avoiding funds with high fees. Sales loads, front-end loads, back-end loads, and big expenses. Got to avoid those.
And big capital gains tax. Wait a second. They're as low as we've ever seen them.
That's dumb, Jim Cramer. Short-term capital gains taxes are what? 28 to 40%? You can't possibly overcome that kind of headwind against trading your investments around in the short term. Even the long term, it's 15%. Scientifically impossible to overcome that.
This show's about doing exactly the opposite. It's about the need to do homework after you've bought a stock. The beginning is the buy. Then the work sets in. So you'll know when to sell. Because sooner or later, you always have to sell.
Yeah, but see, the problem with that is scientific studies have shown that people who try to time the market and time the purchase of either stocks or funds get it wrong. They get it wrong more than they get it right. So if you buy and hold, at least you're getting market returns. You know you're getting market returns and not losing to the market.
And it's about the psychology of helping you stay in the game, whether it be through index funds, or the mutual funds I've recommended in Stay Mad for Life, or individual stocks, but only if you have the time and inclination, because stocks can be dangerous if you're building your own portfolio.
The way to stay in the game is to have a risk-appropriate portfolio. Take the risk capacity survey at Index Funds Advisors. Find out how much risk you can handle, both financially and psychologically. Both of these components are in the risk capacity survey. You buy and hold the portfolio, and you don't need to worry about doing homework.
The whole point of Mad Money is to educate you about stocks.
The whole point of Mad Money is to have a tantalizing show on CNBC that drives advertising revenue.
No, I do Mad Money because of all the clowns out there who constantly give you bad advice masquerading as prudence, telling you to buy and hold. Those people are hurting people. And I'll keep doing this as long as they keep sending in the clowns. We got another clown just this weekend. A new column in the Wall Street Journal, page B1 this Saturday, which I think was referencing me when I talked about TV pundits who shriek out trading advice as if their underpants were on fire. Correction! I shriek out investing advice, and I would gladly light my underpants on fire if I thought it would be educational and wouldn't char my cojones. I'm constantly attacked by the buy and hold guys because I go out of my way to make a dry and boring subject interesting to a wide audience of people.
I know another guy who's trying to make a dry and boring subject interesting to people and use scientific data to show them the best way to invest.
As I explain in Real Money, Sane Investing, and Insane World, most of this is probably too hard for people.
Agreed, and too hard for most people.
If you don't have the time to do it yourself and don't have the inclination...
And who does?
Over and over, I recommend looking to the professionals at mutual funds or at least index funds. I even provide a list of mutual fund managers I like and stay mad for life.
Right, but you haven't provided a list of index funds you like, have you? That's where my prediction comes in of Jim Cramer's book, the second Tuesday of December, called Jim Cramer's Mad Rules for Investing, and it'll be all about investing in index funds.
Anyway, this guy Zweig says it's an opportunity to buy and hold more when stocks come down 50%. I think that is totally and unequivocally wrong.
Well, again, he's talking stocks with an S at the end. You're talking a stock, and I think there's a big difference. But in this sequence, he makes the best case yet for not buying individual stocks.
How do you think you would have done if you had bought Wachovia down 50% from its high? How about Fannie Mae? How about that great buy of Freddie Mac down 50%? General Motors down 50%? Ooh, hey, National City down 50%. Washington Mutual, Ford. How about the late unlamented IndyMac? You had many chances to buy that down 50%. Citigroup has given you a lot of chances to buy down 50%. So has AMD. Dell. Pfizer's a good down 50%er. Macy's. How about buying MBIA and AMR down 50%? How about Enron? Time Warner, CBS, Lehman Brothers, WorldCom, Lennar, Pulte Homes. These were all world-class companies. But if you didn't do your homework, if you just did buy and hold, you probably had no idea they were going bad. These are stocks where if you bought them down 50%, you just lost more money.
Exactly, Jim Cramer. People are doing their homework. You know, when the stock is down 50%, they still trade the stocks. You know what? Some people are selling the stocks when they're down 50%. But guess what? Half the people are buying these stocks when they're down 50%. Half the people are doing their homework and they're saying, hey, this stock is down far enough now that it's a real value. You know, maybe the dividend payment is high on it, or we think the fundamentals are sound. People are doing their homework, and they're losing out to non-systematic risk, the risk of a specific stock.
Here's the bottom line. I'm here to save you from a buy and hold strategy. That's a strategy that could have lost you oodles of money in the past year. I'm here to show you that while it does take work to be a good investor, homework, I believe the results are completely worth the effort. And you know what? If I have to light my pants on fire to do it, and I can get a permit from the fire marshal, I will.
Well, there is one thing I've noticed about a lot of popular speakers, and that is the louder they talk, the louder they shout, the more people listen, even though what they're saying is actually quite stupid. People believe someone that shouts their message. So what I'm shouting to you is to read the article by Jason Zweig, Stop Worrying and Learn to Love the Bear. I'll have a link to it in the show notes of this show, as well as a link to the video clip of Jim Cramer's complete talk about Jason Zweig and his article. Both of these links in the show notes for show number 120. Congratulations, Jason Zweig. You're the guru on Mad Men Machine 120. Hey, thanks for coming along and taking a ride on the machine. This is Paul Douglas Boyer saying it takes money to make money and it takes eye schadenfreude to make a mad money machine. I'll see you next week, Friday, July 25th. Please, in the meantime, go visit our sponsor, Index Funds Advisors, at ifa.com. Take their risk capacity survey. Sign up for an account with them. Thanks to music.podshow.com for some of the music played on this program. I'd appreciate your feedback. Emailed to me, feedback@madmoneymachine.com. Or call the voicemail line, 206-734-4763, or all the other usual places. Visit the website, madmoneymachine.com, and take the survey. Thanks a whole lot. Take advantage of these risky times and stay invested. I'm going to leave you now with a tune I found on the PodSafe Music Network in the spirit of Steely Dan, one of my favorite artists. This is Hola Anabule, and Who Are You?
He had a dye job to make him stand out, this little despot in a fluorescent coat. I was a hoodlum, there could be no doubt, just for a time being bicontinental bold. Returning to my home, I don't mind, stuff is happening all the time. Mother drift of my soul, figure I'm fighting all alone. Oh, who are you? What are you doing here? Living like me, saying yes, I am you. Being the things that you won't dare. It's not America back in the 20s. How can he do this? I wanna cut his head. And my mist is reddening, my teeth are clenching. I need a driver before he drives me mad. Fighting on the own. Oh, who are you? What are you doing here? Living like me, saying yes, I am you. Being those things that you won't dare to be. you